Welcome to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Dialing up the latest tactics and hottest trends, we're here to help you take your B2B game from stagnant to stellar.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Marianne. And together, we're ready to answer your burning B2B sales and marketing questions.
Each episode, we'll tackle a need-to-know topic in the ever-evolving world of B2B sales and marketing. We'll break it down with actual takeaways that you can implement right away.
And because you don't get results without real talk, we're wrapping up every show with a quick Q&A segment. So fire away with your burning questions.
Whether you're a seasoned sales leader or a marketing maestro just starting out, the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline is your one-stop shop to take your B2B efforts to the next level.
Hi, Emily.
Hello, Marianne.
We are excited for today's podcast episode. We are going to be talking about AI, how to use it, when to use it. It is the topic of the hour. Everyone's talking about it. And so we wanted to have an episode to discuss together things that we've learned and advice on how businesses can really be using it.
Yes, AI is the name on everybody's lips these days. I feel like it's all we talk about, all we're learning about. It's just rapidly evolving and the use cases are tremendous. I mean, we're finding use cases all the time on how we can implement and, you know, make our lives easier using AI.
But don't you think the conversation, like, I'm glad to have this podcast today because I think those conversations can be very vague. Oh, you need to be using AI. Use it every day. Don't get caught behind. Stay ahead and use AI. Learn how to use it as a new habit with all of your employees. Like, I just think there's a lot of vague instructions. So I think today is helpful to be able to say, this is how we use it. This is how you can use it. And specifically with B2B marketing and sales, like, you know, not just necessarily like at your home or with your family.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think it is a little bit vague and the instructions are not like clear. And there's a lot of different options too to like do the same thing, right? Like, I mean, there's a lot of different AI, you know, platforms and different tools. And I mean, it's hard to know, like, okay, if I leave here from listening today, like, here are the specifics that, like, that's what our goal is for today, is to give some.
And of course, like, we can give specifics on where we are now with how we're using it, but it is something that is growing, changing, and requires research and curiosity to understand, to know capabilities and test them out. So, you know, there is a level of that that has to be implemented by everybody. And I think that, you know, one of the reasons that we adopted it really early is because our CEO was so curious. And so he started finding things and sending them to us and asking us to try them. And then we would try them and share them with our clients and have our consultants share them with our clients. So there's lots of ways that you're, you know, it's not just a checklist. You can't just say, do these three things tomorrow, but you can say, do these three things tomorrow and continue to experiment and learn and try on your own.
Yes, absolutely agree. So do you want to start with sales, AI and sales, and kind of talk through what, you know, sellers, sales managers, sales leaders can be doing, you know, using AI to make their process better?
Totally. So, I mean, first thing, how we use it with clients and for the businesses that we work with, sales enablement. I mean, using it to create the content, using it to provide sales teams with insights and tools for improving their performance. Obviously, we're going to talk more about HubSpot and how it integrates with HubSpot, and they have their own AI tools. But even just using ChatGPT can give a lot of great AI tools for concepts and ideas and content for sales enablement.
Yes, absolutely. Sales enablement's huge. You're creating content pieces. I also see a lot of sellers using AI to help write out their sales emails for them, you know, taking, you know, prompting AI saying, you know, I want to write a follow-up, a 3-email follow-up series with XYZ. I want to send it to, you know, this type of person. Can you write me these emails? And AI can crank out some emails. And when we say AI, we're saying, you know, ChatGPT, Gemini, any of those. You can go on
websites
for free, make an account, and just start prompting away and get some good sales emails. I like
something to remember is that it's not just a content writer. It can really give context. So you can even as a salesperson copy and paste an email and say, I had a really bad response rate when I sent this to cold leads. How can you improve this to increase my opportunity of getting people to reply to this email? And they can spit out something that will help you with that. So it not only creates, but it kind of helps you analyze.
Yes. The analyzing is huge. You know, even as a seller putting in like, you know, so you could even like prompt AI with a sale or a proposal that you presented and the person said no. You could give some reasons why the person said no and ask it to, you know, analyze the situation, help you next time to, you know, do XYZ better. Right. And have it like really communicate with you. We have consultants on our team that will have like conversations with AI. Understand. Yeah, it's very, very cool. Talking about the sales side of things, our parent company, the Center for Sales Strategy, just came out with a very cool AI tool for sellers, also called the Practice Coach. It is alongside Yoodly, which is a very cool AI tool, and it actually allows you to have conversations with with a prospect, and you can lead the conversation in any direction you want, and the AI will actually like follow along. So you could have a whole practice scenario with, you know, a mattress company or whatever, whoever you're selling to, and actually like practice your sales. It's very cool. AI is, I think, really changing the game for sellers.
And then get the feedback afterwards of what they can do better and how they could improve or how other options of how they could have gone about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, cool. I also, a big one that we see a lot is like forecasting and understanding like where sales trends are. You know, if you're a leader and your team is like, you know, typically, you know, selling more, but not selling as much this year, or you're trying to understand like where your forecasting is going to lie. You can rely on a lot of different AI tools, but even just like the ChatGPTs of the world to analyze your, you know, current sales, give you some forecasting numbers, you know, even like it can create graphs or, you know, cool visuals for you. Just plugging in some prompts.
Yep. Yep. And then on the other side of that, like lead scoring, right? Mm-hmm. So figuring, you know, having AI using ChatGPT to help you figure out these are prospects I'm interested in, share with me other companies I could look into, or which of these hits these data points that I'm looking for to reach out to first. How should I prioritize these? AI can help you with that.
Yeah, lead scoring is very cool. You could give the AI, in HubSpot specifically, when I think of lead scoring, I'm thinking of HubSpot, but you can give the AI specific things to look for, specific interactions that the lead should have done, or the amount of times this person should have come to your website, or the intent that the person had bringing them to your website. Like you can give AI some criteria to like say, okay, this is a good enough prospect for me to care about. And then you can have some lead scoring that would like, you know, say, okay, based on what this person's done, the interactions they've had, here's the score we would give this lead as far as like a good business prospect.
And like, would it be worth my time right now?
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest thing with AI. It's like, okay, you know, we have 24 hours in a day, but that's all. Like, I mean, in order to make us all more effective and spend our 24 hours a day better and, you know, getting more done more efficiently, AI is helping us with that. So when we say lead scoring, like you don't need lead scoring, but wouldn't it be great if you knew the top prospects that your sales team should go after, and the rest you can, you know, follow up with tomorrow or put in a marketing funnel, and not have your sellers, you know, spend their time. It's very cool.
That's how salespeople think. They wake up in the morning and think, okay, how can I get closer to a sale today? How can I use my workday to sell? And these tools can help with that. Yeah. AI really does put a big, and then, okay, let's talk about marketing.
Yes. Marketing, our favorite.
But people hear content or AI, how do marketers use AI? And it's like, oh, create content. that's all people think. Oh, I'll just create content. That's a way to do it. Yes, you can go to ChatGPT and it will write you an outline. It will write you a blog post. It will write you an ebook. It can write content that you can publish, but it can do so much more than that. It can personalize content to target audiences based on their preferences and behaviors. Like, it can identify customer segments and like tailor, write the same ebook five different ways to different segments of people. It's not just a content like churner.
Yeah. And I think when people even like, just take it a step further, like when people say, oh, it just writes content, I mean, they're really thinking blogging, right? Blogging or ebooks. And I think the amount of content that you can use AI for is what's like, to me, the most impressionable almost. Like, you can create, you know, podcast scripts. You could create marketing automation workflows.
We should have done that. Why didn't we do that?
You can create marketing emails. You could create CTA button copy. I mean, really, like, it's not just whip up a blog. It's everything. I mean, and the beauty of AI, honestly, is that a lot of times AI puts out, you know, better work than what we would even be thinking. It's becoming good prompters, right? So it's being able to like have the idea. We're the creative thinkers, the humans are the creatives. And then we are giving AI the tools and the prompts for them to help us create what we're imagining in our brain. And it's very cool. And it allows us to move faster, perform better. And also you can, again, like we were just saying with sales, you could have it analyzed for you. So you could say, okay, here's the CTA button copy. It's had a lot of click-throughs, but not a lot of people are, you know, downloading, filling out the form. What could I change? Help me think this through. And it will actually help prompt and think things through.
Yes. So it is. I think the context is really crucial here. And then similar to salespeople, marketers also have a lot of repetitive tasks. They need help improving efficiency so they can scale their marketing efforts. And AI can do that. That's not just salespeople who have that problem every day, right? So yeah. I think that going to AI to help you, you know, edit the way that you're doing repetitive tasks is a good way to think about it.
Another thing for marketers too is analyzing and improving on KPIs. So if you have AI like analyze your KPIs for you, it can give some pretty good suggestions for you to do, you know, next month to improve. It can help you like think through some just like improvements in your marketing strategy too. So an example of that would be like, you know, you could put into ChatGPT your, you know, monthly website traffic, SEO traffic, organic keywords, you know, search results, everything. And then say, you know, like analyze this, think through, give me five, you know, tactical improvements I could make next month. And it will give you that.
Everybody pause and write down that prompt. There was Emily's prompt for AI. Everybody could go and do that right now. That's a great use. That's a great use case for marketers.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Love it. Okay. Well, we'd be remiss to not tell you about Breeze, right?
Talk about Breeze yet. We want to talk about like generally speaking, but yes, of course, you know, everyone, if you've listened to this podcast at all, you know that we're HubSpot gurus and we get excited about all the new releases. And Breeze was announced at Inbound this year in September. So came out of beta and is live for everyone to use.
Yes. And Breeze, you know, when we're telling you guys about ChatGPT, Gemini, other tools you can use, I mean, even like the Canvas and the Grammarlys and stuff of the world are coming out with AI tools. So, I mean, AI is everywhere, right? Like anywhere you go, any tool you're using typically has some kind of AI functionality, but HubSpot is no exception. HubSpot now has Breeze. So basically, you know, let's kind of talk about like the use case of Breeze. If you're a HubSpot user thinking about using HubSpot, HubSpot now has AI built into the tool. So all of this that we're talking to you guys about, you can do within HubSpot, right? So like lead scoring, you know, creating marketing emails, creating blogs, creating and uploading case studies. Things like that are now easier with AI. So you can give it a quick prompt, say, you know, I helped this customer with, you know, these were our, you know, big rocks that we went after. This is how successful we were. Here was the challenges. And then AI will actually create for you a full case study within a minute. Things like that within HubSpot are now possible, which is very, very cool for everyone.
Perk of HubSpot, one of the biggest perks of HubSpot in general is that everything's in one place, right? Your CRM, your marketing, your sales outreach, your service, everything can be in one portal. And so I think the biggest benefit of Breeze is that it connects and talks to all of those things. And it's one AI tool that is connected to all of your different areas of your portal. So of course you could, before Breeze was announced, use different AI tools like ChatGPT or Gemini or whatever you're using, and then put it into HubSpot. But it's really more efficient to have it all in there together that's talking to each other.
Yeah, and the AI also really complements the CRM. So for example, like there's in HubSpot right now, you can go into one of your CRM contacts, so like just any contact, and you can click like summarize. And AI will actually summarize for you the entire, you know, the entirety of the contact. So let's say you're a seller and you just picked up a contact from another seller that maybe left. Instead of having to go read through the entire contact record and understand every email that was ever sent, every proposal that was ever sent, every deal that never won, things like that, you could have it summarize it for you in a quick paragraph. You would read everything you need to know and move on with your day and be faster, more efficient sellers. Another example that sellers use is the sequence tool. So like we were just talking about, you could go into ChatGPT and say, hey, write me up a, you know, 4-part email series as a seller following up on XYZ. You could also do that in HubSpot. So in HubSpot, you can type in and have it prompt actual emails and it will place them right into the sequence.
Creates them for you. So it not just creates the content, it creates the emails. So yeah. It just takes so much time, it saves so much time.
Yes. And, you know, as a sales leader, if you're listening to this and, you know, we all want our salespeople being in front of prospects, right? Like in front of them, presenting to them, you know, giving them the pricing, like that's the goal. And the admin work gets in the way. The admin work of having to, you know, plug things in or type this email, like those are the things that bog down sellers to not have them in front of your prospects and customers pitching them potential opportunities. So I do think that all of this does make sellers more efficient. I also hear a lot from, like, you know, people considering HubSpot that they don't want it, that they want the HubSpot platform to be a benefit to their sellers. And I think Breeze is just providing more benefit to sellers. It's allowing this to not be like a tool that is like top down leadership mandate, but rather a true productivity tool for sellers.
It is creating a bit of a race, though, because both managers and sellers are going to notice if you're not adapting these tools and building them into your habits. I mean, yes, you could go in and, like your example, summarize this activity. Of course, you could go in and read all of it. Like, it's not doing something you can't do. But if you don't get into a habit of using AI to help improve your efficiencies, you're going to get behind. Like, yes. This is not going away. It's time
you're
going to
be the slow reap in the office.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really is time to embrace it, not resist it. And as a business owner, you know, I know we talked about the sales and marketing, but also Breeze connects to every other area of HubSpot as well. So
this ops,
a chatbot or a virtual assistant, all of the service side, right? Enhancing your customer satisfaction and interactions with AI. And a lot of the listeners, I'm sure, has probably experienced that from the user side, right? When you go to talk to a chatbot. So, but that does integrate with HubSpot's chatbot and HubSpot's service features as well.
Yeah, it's very cool. I mean, all the service stuff coming out is very cool. The help desk, the new help desk,
yeah,
ability for you know, the chatbot to analyze what it knows first before it gets passed to a human. Just additional things that are improving efficiency, right? Like in general, if a chatbot can be the first line of defense, you want it to be like that. You don't want it to just like be a director to humans.
But then the question comes up about how ethical it is and data privacy and bias. And we're already getting a lot of questions about that from prospects. Because there is a fear behind AI. It's not a human. And you're putting a lot of information into someone that, like, can you trust? Can you trust this computer and AI?
Right. No, I mean, it is definitely a topic that I mean, even my husband at his work, you know, tells me, like, about this stuff, too. And I think it's important to remember that, like, you know, when you are putting in information, like, don't use people's real names. Don't use, like, you know, if you're, you know, typing out an email and you want it to help, like, improve the email, like, maybe don't put their name, like, things like that I would consider, but just generic help across the board, like, generically write me an email or generically create this landing page copy or whatever. Like, none of that to me feels like really secretive.
No, but there, and I think every industry is different. I mean, there's definitely industries that deal with privacy issues more, but it's something that everyone is still learning. So this is still new, and definitely kind of, I guess, rules around the safety of AI are still being established.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's something that everyone, even experts, are still figuring out.
Yeah. And I mean, I think it's evolving so much. Like, there's just so much, like, on the horizon. We should tell them about Notebook LM too.
Our mind this week.
If you're listening to this, go to, is it Notebook LM?
Yeah, that's right.
It's Notebook LM.
Google AI. Yeah. Brand new.
You can plug in. You can, like, grab one of your eBooks. You could grab any PDF or document you have on your desktop right now. Drag it in there, and it will create a podcast episode.
Or wait, we're not calling it podcast, remember, we're calling it audio recaps.
Oh, an audio recap. Yes.
It's not a podcast, it is an audio conversation
that is but it's very mind-blowing, and actually it's hard to explain.
I mean, honestly, you guys, we cannot talk this up enough. Like, you've got to go and try it. We were wigging out when we did
it. Was really cool. Yeah.
I mean, it's the same generative AI that is like other AIs that can organize and analyze and synthesize data and information and give new context. But it does that. But first of all, it can do it with really complex ideas, and it can do it from a written version to a brand new unscripted audio conversation between two people. And yes. Then of course, you all know, audio, like AI voices and images, are looking more and more real over time. So yeah, this is the worst the technology is ever going to be. And it is shockingly amazing. So, yes. So pause this episode again. Here we go. Telling people to pause. Brent's probably like, quit. Tell people to listen to the whole thing. Anyway, pause and go to Notebook LM. Google AI.
Drag and drop your whatever documents on your desktop. Doesn't matter what it is.
Just try it. It is so cool.
Yeah. Very cool. Okay. So you want to get into some questions?
Yeah. I feel like we've given a lot of tactical, like, pause and go do this right now advice, which was the goal, right?
Hopefully you made it back to the...
to do. So yes, let's go to questions.
Okay, so first question for us is, AI is changing many aspects of SEO. Is this something we should be worried about? What changes should we make to ensure that blog posts rank highly on Google? And I love that this question was asked because of all the new Google AI. Now, yeah. When you Google search something, if you've noticed, you probably have, at the top of the Google search, you will find AI provides answers even before you get to a website, which is interesting. I think it is changing the landscape. And Marianne and I actually at Inbound got some pretty good ideas. I know, Marianne, do you want to share a couple of them?
Well, I mean, I feel like that question is good and old. Like people have all, I mean, we've gotten SEO questions. How do I perfect SEO? How do I rank higher? That's not a new question. And yes, AI is adding a new challenge to that. But the answer is I think really the same, like human-centered content. Write for people. Don't write for algorithms. That's what we've always said, right? Don't write for AI. Like Google always has and will prioritize natural, informative content. So like if you want to rank, write for humans.
But I will say there are some specific things that you can write about that do help. So a couple of the things are writing content that AI can't answer. And what that means is writing content that is for someone who is further into their buying journey. So someone who is actually wanting to understand service, actually wanting to understand how you deliver product, how you, you know, whatever it is, fill in the blank, because AI doesn't know how you do that, right? So right. Writing more bottom of the funnel pieces of content, yeah, will help. That will help. We learned a lot about that because, you know, AI is answering those like quick little, like, for example, like, what is a HubSpot agency? Like AI will answer that for you. If you type in what is HubSpot agency, you're going to see the answer before you ever get to a single agency's website. So if I was to be writing a blog post that I would hope someone would see, it would be more like, how does Lead G2, you know, do blogging for their clients using AI? So it's like a very specific topic that AI probably doesn't know the answer to.
It's almost like, I mean, I guess it's not the same thing, but I'm kind of thinking it's the same. It's similar to when I think people started focusing on more long-tailed keywords instead of just the short, okay, well, I need to do more of a long form keyword so that way I can rank for a more specific thing. It's kind of like that, you know, even more specific.
Yeah. And I think that how we Google search and what we type into Google is going to continue evolving. Like we used to be, you know, very like brief in what we typed, then long-tail keywords started bubbling up because people were asking more specific questions to Google. And I think we'll find that our Googling habits continue to shift. But I do think that, you know, right now, if you're listening to this and you're wanting to know, like, how do I beat that Google AI? I would say right bottom of the funnel content. Content that AI truly doesn't know the answer to, because they, I mean, your target audience, the people you were actually wanting to visit your blog, that's the stuff they want to hear directly from you versus AI, things that make your business unique and how you deliver service.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. What would you tell someone whose leadership team members are resisting using AI tools?
Leadership or team members? Because I feel like they're
different. Leadership or team members. And I think it's different for either side, right? I think if you are a leader and AI is important to you, we actually like just talked about this in a meeting the other day. You cannot teach AI curiosity. Someone is either going to want to learn it, want to understand it, want to be more efficient and better with using AI, or they're not. Mm-hmm. And at our company specifically, we've started, you know, kind of thinking through like, you know, in our future hires, in how we can like look at our team and planning our team growth. We only see people who are AI curious about learning and becoming more efficient with AI being part of our team. And so as a leader, I would say, I think that's the biggest thing is kind of thinking through, okay, who on my team is holding us back from being the most efficient we could possibly be, and consider, and then in future hiring, maybe add a question in your future hiring of asking, you know, how do you use AI in your day-to-day work life that makes you more effective and makes you better at your job? And just hear what they say, because, you know, there are ways and people are doing it, and you can't teach that.
I couldn't agree more. Yes, that is so true. Yeah, you really can't. And it's a necessity. You can't, you have to adapt. You cannot resist this.
Like Marianne said earlier, it really like stuck with me this whole time. You will become the slower one, right? So like, I mean, right now we're all like testing and learning and understanding, and there's new AI and things happening. And so we're all like learning together. And at some point, the people who are not adopting to the AI tools in their day-to-day life will fall behind. They will be the slower ones. They will be the ones that are still reading through a contact record because they didn't use the overview, or they'll be the ones that are typing out these lengthy emails that are not performing very well because they aren't using AI to help them, you know, think through better emails. Like, they will be the ones that fall behind.
But it's not there yet. Like,
it's not there yet.
Right? Right now is the time to experiment, to play around, to build new habits slowly, one thing at a time. Just having ChatGPT as a tab open every single morning so you can think more often to use it. So building small habits and experimenting now is the way to adapt. So that way in a year from now, when it is second nature to a lot of people, you're not starting your process.
Yeah. It'd be like if someone is still like using encyclopedias in their home because they don't want Google. Like, it really is. It's going to become habit. It's going to become second nature. It's going to become the efficient. And we're going to expect another level of speed and efficiency from people because of AI. And so I think as a leader, just consider that in your hiring and your, you know, future team planning. Yeah. And then I think on the flip side, if you're, what would I tell someone whose leadership is resistant to using AI tools? I think that as a employee, you can pull up ChatGPT and use AI in your day-to-day to make your life more efficient or your work more efficient. I don't think you necessarily like need leadership to, you know, be all in on AI for you to be able to like use AI tools in your day-to-day. And then I think the same applies on the flip, right? Like, if you're at a company that's very much against AI, and you know that AI will make you more effective as an employee, I would consider that in your future employment. You know, I would consider like, okay, if my company is still against this and I'm watching others pass us by, do I need to go to the competition that's like really ahead of the times here and is evolving with the trends? I mean, I would consider. So
I love it. Well, thanks. This was a fun conversation. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And adapt, don't resist, go get them.
Adapt, don't resist. Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in to the B2B Sales and Marketing Hotline.
Don't forget to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts so that you never miss an episode. And if you've got a question for us, head to the show notes and let us know what's on your mind.
And visit our website, leadg2.com, where you can find even more helpful B2B sales and marketing resources.